I have like piles of stuff around me.
I do too.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we are officially a Fantastic Beasts and the Secrets of Dumbledore hate podcast.
I'm Karen from the
And I am Mandy from Oakrith. I feel like I just talked to you.
I know. It was just a couple days ago. I am like social out. We had a big old grad party yesterday, and I am just burnt out.
Well, maybe we can be incoherently shorter than usual so that you can have a chill day
Know, I need a
because
nap.
we've both been off for the week and now we have to go back to work, or at least I have to go back to work tomorrow, so
I do too, but I work from home tomorrow, thankfully.
I work from home every day, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
I need more potato days.
I need to do laundry so badly.
Yeah, same. Before we jump in, I want to get, it's not a correction, but a clarification on something that we were wondering in the last episode. So spoiler alert for The Night the Stars Fell and Scar's Alex story. Take out your AirPods for maybe a minute. So we asked if, because Astra has someone tell her that she's gonna meet someone who she has to trust, and then Alec has someone in Scars tell him that Astra is coming and just wait. They're not the same person.
Oh.
Ash, which we wondered if it's the same person who told them both. Astra, she has like a, it's not a dream, she's awake, but it like a dream version of herself appear to her and tell her that someone is coming and that she has to trust him. Alec, it's an older man who finds him after he's attempted suicide and tells him Astra is coming. Now they could be, part of, something together, that the other Astra self and this old man, we don't know yet, but they are not right now. They don't appear to be the same entity. So I wanted to clarify that because I went and looked it up last night. I went and like opened my books last night and took notes. I have my notebook now, so I took notes this week.
Right, so let's move into fictional boyfriend of the week.
I think I'm gonna, even though I hated it, even though I hated most seconds of it, I think I'm gonna go with Theseus Scamander. I'm feeling Theseus
I was gonna say
lately.
Newt Scamander, so we worked out
Hey,
really well.
there we go.
I love Newt. I've always loved
I do
Newt.
too.
He's
Those
such a
Scamander
precious man.
brothers. They deserved better than the movie they got, which we can talk about
In the next
later.
segment. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
They are just precious human beings. I love them.
Yes, especially Newt, but something about Theseus. I just love Theseus.
Yeah. All right. Well, that leads us perfectly into this week in fangirling. We watched Fantastic Beasts.
I know. Do we dive right into how much we hated it?
I guess so. I mean, I only have two things written down for this week, which actually is wrong, so I'm going to write something else down. But Fantastic Beasts is a big one.
So, spoiler alert, we are about to talk about some major plot points. So just skip to the next segment if you don't want to hear.
Yes.
So if you don't care about spoilers, hello, welcome.
Welcome to our hate group. We're
So
happy to have you.
we went and saw it with my husband and your kid and my two brothers and one of my brother's girlfriends. And so we normally would have not talked about it to each other, but my brothers were there, so I wanted to
We
be able
had
to.
a whole rage
We had a
session afterward.
whole parking lot rage session. So I think I'm going to start with the scene that gets me the most. I'm so irate. You have this Chillum beast. It's not a beast. It looks like a little baby deer, but it is supposed to be the purest of souls, which I thought were unicorns from Harry Potter. But anyways, and it's supposed to be able to see into your soul and see if you're pure of heart and if you're good. And if it sees that, it will bow to you. This Chillum spends so much time with Newt Scamander. It spends so much time with Jacob Kowalski. it is taken in front of three people who are about to be political leaders. They're all in the vicinity, and it's released, and it tiptoes around up to Albus Dumbledore and bows. Then Albus Dumbledore leans down and says, "I appreciate this. Thank you. But there is someone else here who is equally worthy. I know it in my heart. I know it in my soul." And this is 5-10 minutes after he's had a little heart to heart with Jacob Kowalski, where he tells him, "Hey, you have the fullest heart of anyone I've ever met. You are wonderful. You know, the world doesn't deserve you." So you're like, okay, he's about to go bow to Jacob, which I made some barfy sounds at it, even bowing at Dumbledore to begin with, because Dumbledore is not a good person. I love Dumbledore, but he's not great.
Dumbledore left a child in an abusive home.
Exactly.
There's no reason for that. There's no excuse for that.
And then raised him knowing he had to die.
Yes.
So little Chillum tippy toes away from Dumbledore up to one of the political candidates.
Past Jacob Kowalski and Newt Scamander.
And bows to this woman that we know nothing about. If we had met her and known about her personality, known that she was what's best for the wizarding world, I would be totally fine. I am not fine with the Chillum bowing to Dumbledore and not to Newt. Garbage take.
There is garbage. It's how are you going to bow to Dumbledore when Newt and Jacob are right there?
Exactly.
Those are precious cinnamon rolls of human beings, and they deserve the world.
You're not going to find more pure than Newt Scamander. It will not happen.
No, you're absolutely not. His whole life is just about saving these precious little beasts and taking care of them. And what makes you purer than that, honestly?
Exactly.
There is no world in which Albus Dumbledore is more pure of heart than Newt Scamander.
Never. And then I did not like Mads Mikkelsen as Grindelwald. I am still very salty about how they did Johnny Depp, so much so that I didn't even really want to see it that much. Mm-hmm. I will say, and I will post a photo of it so that everybody knows, like, it's 100% true. We don't love the fact that J.K. Rowling gets money for this, even if it's pennies per ticket. I made $102 donation to the Trevor Project to kind of offset the money that did go to her, because we did pay to see it. I sent it to the, I think it's like info@jkrowling.com. I put the name, I did it in honor of Joanne Rowling. And in the note, I put, "Hate has no place at Hogwarts." Does not make it okay that she gets money from us, but I did make a donation to an organization that is actually helpful and not hateful. Mm-hmm. So,
and your donation is, they get the full amount, whereas Rowling only gets, like you said, pennies on the dollar. But, you know, it's something that makes a difference to people who need it.
Right. So I thought that was important for us to do and us to say. We don't want any, like, kudos for that. It's just, we wanted to show that we do care about social justice, and we're just a fangirl podcast, so you can't not see the next movie. Yeah.
And it's something that's been a part of our lives since we were children. Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked about it. Harry Potter was a huge part of our lives growing up. Yeah. We grew up with these stories, so it's hard for us. I know other people are able to, but for us to separate that from kind of our identity. So it was just something that we went to see, and we did our best. We did what we could to offset her nastiness.
Right. And that was what we spent on tickets and then a little more. So, like you said, full amount will go to the Trevor Project, where she got a tiny, tiny fraction of what we spent. So, just wanted to point that out before anyone says, "Oh, you're supporting a bigot." We kind of did, but we hope that we could offset it.
We try not to.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I wish I hadn't after seeing it, but
yeah, it was kind of really terrible. My biggest pet peeves is the fact that they call this part of the Fantastic Beasts franchise. Mm-hmm. Like, what does Dumbledore and Grindelwald's, like, story have to do with Fantastic Beasts? We could have, the first Fantastic Beasts movie was phenomenal. We could have had a trilogy of just Newt's adventures or Newt and Jacob's adventures, and we got this trash.
And I get why they want to tell the Dumbledore Grindelwald story, because it's something that we've read about for, you know, 20 years, but these movies don't have to be labeled Fantastic Beasts and the, you could, like,
they could have been the Infinity Saga.
Right. You have the Infinity Saga with Marvel. They don't all start with the Infinity Saga.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So you could call this the Dumbledore Grindelwald Saga once it's done. This has nothing to do with Fantastic Beasts.
Not at all.
And I read a post, I think it was on Reddit or something, where someone said, look, if you could have had a whole franchise of just Fantastic Beasts. You could have introduced poachers. You could have introduced, you know, another magizoologist who Newt can collaborate with. But no, instead, Newt's story is now suddenly being overshadowed by Dumbledore and Grindelwald.
Newt, who is supposed to be the lead of this franchise, and he's a side character.
Right. Wanted this story. This is just not how we wanted to get it.
Yeah. I also didn't like that Tina just was not in it.
Yeah.
That was, it's just, I mean, I don't know the details of it. I don't know if maybe there was like a scheduling conflict for shooting or whatnot, but that just kind of sucked that she wasn't even, she was kind of like an afterthought. It was very, very irritating.
I'm looking it up now because I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
So I remember reading, like, you know, you go on like Pottermore or whatever, and because you want to see like what happens to the characters. You know, Luna Lovegood goes on to marry Escamander.
Right.
Newt's, I think it's Newt's grandson or great grandson. And so I was hoping that he would end up with Bunty. Mm-hmm. But I just looked it up, and apparently he does end up marrying Tina. Mm. Which that makes me feel bad for Bunty. I love her.
I love her too. She was precious. I also, we talked about this. The number of cases was wrong. Hmm? The number of cases.
Oh, yes. My God, when you say number of cases, I think COVID. Like,
no, there were. So they made replicas of Newt's suitcase, which was really disconcerting to see Newt without his suitcase.
Yes.
First and foremost.
That was stressful.
That was really stressful, especially when you know what's in there. Like, it's a whole world with all these beasts that he's taking care of. And
they could all die if something happens.
Mm-hmm. But then, you know, Bunty goes and takes it and is like, I need a half a dozen duplicates. So that means there should be seven cases. There were only
five. Which is interesting.
Oh, now that I'm saying it.
Horcrux is seven.
Seven.
But anyways, one was missing.
Yeah. Well, seven is like a magical number, I guess, and that's why the seven Horcruxes, but whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was one missing. And well, there were five that they showed.
There were five.
But there was definitely one that was hidden away, because there's no way that they could have predicted who picked which case.
Right.
So Bunty had to end up with the actual case.
So that means technically there were two missing.
There were two missing from that scene.
Yeah.
Because there were five sitting there. There were seven total. So where's that one last case?
Yeah, and what's in it?
And what's in it? Does it matter?
Because
why are we hyperfixating on this?
Somehow they randomly were able to pick up the suitcase that matched their personality.
That's true.
You know, like Jacob had the one that had all of the bread that overflowed, like in the vault in Gringotts.
Yeah.
Then you had the professor had books. And I think Theseus's was just like spells, right? It was like,
wasn't there one? No, it was, there was one that was like, bludgers. And
that was Theseus's.
Was that
Theseus? You're right.
So that's one, two, three. Newt's was burned.
Newt's just kind of burned.
Four. And then there was the one that Bunty picked up that we didn't see because she ended up with the real case.
Right.
And then one.
Then the two
case.
That are missing.
Yeah. Very confusing. I don't know why we're hyper fixating on this or if it even matters, but it kind of is irritating.
Those cases will come back. It'll be funny if they come back.
They probably will.
I don't know.
We'll see. Because there's a missing case.
I certainly will have forgotten about this if there's another movie. Like, it flopped in the box office, so they may not.
I saw something, I forget where, I saw something that said there were two more movies.
They started out with a plan for five.
Okay. Okay.
But that doesn't mean that they absolutely have to do it because this one right. sucks so bad.
That was the big thing from this past week for us.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I have is the book sale. We went to a used book sale together.
We did go to a used book sale. We also watched Moon Knight.
Oh yeah, we did do that. I forgot about Moon Knight.
Because yeah, we watched that together after, because we recorded on Monday, and so it aired on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Moon Knight episode 4, because that was a brain melty episode.
Yeah.
I want more of this hippo.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to get more of the hippo. She's going to be like Alligator Loki. She's going to be Alligator Loki for us.
Yes. I love it. I love it. I loved her. I think it's funny. I saw something recently where it was like Marvel's coming in with all these like animal characters. Like we got Alligator Loki. We got Lucky the Pizza Dog. Now we get this hippo lady. I'm a fan.
Here for it.
I love the animals.
I am mad that they didn't open the other sarcophagus.
Yes. Well, I saw TikToks. I think it was Theories by T where he was like, they're clearly Mark and or Steven or both are like suppressing something that happened. And so that's why they're not opening. They're like, they know what's in it.
I don't but care. I don't know what's in it.
It's Jake Lockley. It's clearly Jake Lockley.
I want him out.
It's obviously Jake Lockley.
Well, You know what?
This is going to be one of those things in WandaVision where everybody is like Pietro. And then it's like Ralph Boner. And everybody's like, it's going to be Jake Lockley. And then it's going to be one of these like fake out things. And people are going to be upset again.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I thought that was.
Probably. Like, who is it that everybody thought Mephisto?
Yeah.
Everybody, every show, it's like, it's going to be, now this will be it where it is. Now that nobody's expecting it.
I saw somebody say something in this, like, the multiverse is the new Mephisto because everything's the multiverse now.
Yeah. Every single show so far, it's been, this is going to be it. This is when he's coming. And it's like,
no, guys.
Hasn't been.
I don't know if that's going to be a thing, but
it's going to stick it to all the TikTok theory accounts.
And then the only other thing that I did this week, I read An Arrow to the Moon. I finished it on the plane and I was just like, my heart. It's so good. It's so good. I loved it. I was hooked from the first second and I want to read it again already. It was so good. I want to read it again for the first time. I hate that feeling.
That's not so possible, but
I know.
You can reread it.
I can reread it. But you know, when you just read something, you're just like, I just want to experience this again for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch Spider-Man No Way Home for the first time again.
Yeah.
I want to reread
the game.
Yes. But alas, that is not a thing that we can do. But I highly recommend
maybe we could
it.
If they allow the multiverse to continue. Maybe we could just do a little time loop or something. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe it's not such a bad idea.
Maybe not.
For selfish readers.
Yes, because I would love to be able to read it again for the first time. I hate that feeling. It's like you'll never experience it for the first time again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's depressing. I highly recommend it. All right. What's next?
Where'd your money go?
Where did my money go? To the book sale.
Same.
So many books.
I had 27 books, and my mom probably had the same amount when we paid together. That poor man who checked us out probably hated us. My mom had a huge suitcase. I had a smaller one, which was overly optimistic. I needed a big one. Yikes.
Yikes. Yeah, I think we probably ended up leaving with about the same number as you. My daughter, I counted, had about 11. And I think I probably had probably close to the same. I don't remember. Yeah. I didn't count. It was scary. But I only ended up spending like $25.
That's crazy.
I want to talk about the book sale man, though. Because the world needs to know. How trashy humans
can
be.
Shame this a-hole.
So we get to the book sale and it's chaotic. There's tables with books laid out. There's bins underneath the tables with books in them. It's crazy. I think, Mandy, you said there were like 90,000. Yes.
I heard somebody say they estimated, they weren't exact, but they estimated 90,000 books. And this is old book sale for my friend, my local Friends of the Library. So this is books that have been donated over the past year. They're being sold now to fund the library.
Right. And so there we come in, we go to, I think it was the YA table, and there was like, there were bins sitting, you know, like under next to the table, and they were just sitting out. And so obviously we're going through them because we love YA books.
And they're in it. There was Throne of Glass. There was Caraval. There was some Dark Materials. I got his Dark Materials. There was some Stephen King books. We had conversations about multiple books.
Yeah. We were standing there for like a good like 5 minutes, like talking about things. Digging through it, looking for, you know, and then
this comes up, and he said his first statement was something along the lines of, if it's marked sold, then it's sold. And so my knee-jerk reaction at first was, oh my gosh, I didn't realize these were yours. And I go to like, oh, I'm sorry. And he cuts me off and says, well, it's just common sense.
And he's like, it says sold all over the bins. And it's like, sir, Mandy was like, show me one spot.
Energy.
Show me one spot where it says sold.
This is the energy that we're bringing. I've got time. I am not a confrontational person, but I can be if I need to. And so it's common sense. And I said, how are we supposed to know that these books are sold, which you haven't paid for them yet, so technically they're not sold. But how are we supposed to know that they're sold? They're in a it's boxes of books in a sea of boxes of books. And he says, well, it's written all over it. Where? All over it. Can you show me one? Yeah. So he spins it around to where it does say sold on the very bottom of the tote that is on the facing the books.
Facing away. Yeah. The side that you can't see from where you are standing next to the books.
And so immediately, I mean, I feel bad because he's claimed these books, whatever, but I'm like, he's still standing there yelling at us about how we need to use common sense and he hates coming to these things. And it's like, I was finally like, dude, nobody's trying to steal your books. It's just, you know, you didn't put them in the greatest spot. And he says, well, I just left them for 30 seconds.
No, sir, we have been standing here talking about these books.
We have been standing here. So he's shoving, you know, pulling them back to him. Well, so we walk away because we're like, I'm not going to stand here. Your kid was there. I'm not going to stand here and get into a fight with this asshole. Mm-hmm. But as we're walking away, he says, thanks for getting them all out of order.
You're welcome.
So anytime, like I just kept like, he was mumbling under his breath and I would just respond because at that point I did not care.
He kept going and going. Just nonstop mumbling and grumbling. Like, sir, you are getting books for like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. To like, resell. I'm sure
to resell. Yeah.
We were getting them to read them and enjoy them and love them.
Right.
Which, again, if he had claimed them first, I wouldn't want somebody to like reach their hand down in my suitcase that I'm pulling around. But I kept my books with me.
Right. Like, you leave them where all the books for people to dig through are sitting. Like,
pull them away to the
wall. What did you expect? You were going to leave them right next to where all the books are being sorted through, people are picking through, and nobody was going to look in them? Sir,
and
no.
There's no shame in, like, if you want to be a reseller, that's fine. If you're respectful about it. We talked to a guy in line who was, and he was very nice. But if you want to buy, you know, bulk stock of books at a book sale, pull someone who works there aside and say, listen, I'm buying a ton. You're about to get a ton of money out of me. Can I please just put boxes behind, you know, where you guys are sitting, checking people out? Because there's one of me, I think there was actually, he had an assistant with him. He had somebody else with him. Can we put these back here? Because we can't carry them all around. I'm sure they would have said, sure, here's a designated spot for you. I know you're buying a lot and you can't carry them.
And there were plenty of people who had boxes and totes who put them against the wall.
Yes.
Away
and you just kind of understood.
Everybody understands. Don't touch those. Out of the way. Yeah. So it was
with the boxes, and then it got worse.
It got worse.
So I wish that I had acted differently. At the time in my mind, I was just thinking, I don't know that like the parents how parents feel about a crazy lady just like wailing on somebody in front of their kid. But there was a shelf, and this is the only like standing shelf mm-hmm. in there. Everything else was just books like laid on their sides on tables so that you could see the spine. But this was a little shelf that had like Harry Potter and Rick Riordan books. And I think there was like Nancy Drew. But these were like a lot of the books that you get at a book sale are maybe not damaged, but they're well loved. They've been read. They, you know, they may have a tear or a bend or a dog ear page. These were kind of like nicer editions that maybe had been read once or bought and then never picked up. And there was these two little boys, one of which I had like, he was my little friend. He was looking for a certain series. And so he was just talking to anybody who could hear, you know, or in the vicinity, can you help me? I'm looking for these. And so I'm trying to help him too. So I already like love this little kid because it's a child who wants to read. That is like, I'll buy you all of your books. I don't even know you, kid. I'll buy your books. Where's your mom? So he and a kid that was with him are going through and they're like, oh, I need book number three of this. And oh my gosh, I've got to ask my mom because I don't remember which book I need, but I know I need one of these series. This guy elbows his way between these kids and says, excuse me, and kind of shoves them out of the way so that he can get the nicer edition books to resell. And at the time, the kids just kind of walked away. And so they weren't fazed, but I was just like, I don't know if their parents would want me to just start screaming at him. I really wish I had been like, lay your hand on a kid one more time. Mm-hmm. You don't get to shove children. I will make a scene and get you kicked out of here. Maybe get myself kicked out of here. But at that point, I did not care.
How are you going to curb a child's enthusiasm for reading and for books by being an asshole?
Make a few bucks.
I will throw hands. Yeah. If I had been their parents, I would have been like, listen, I don't know you, but can I buy your books? Like, I will do whatever, because that was just, ooh, if I had been there, if my child had not been with me, I would have thrown hands at this man.
Yeah. At the beginning, had your kid not been standing there, when he started yelling at us, it would have been like, absolutely not, buddy. You are not going to talk to us like that. And I would have had some very colorful language for him, but your kid was there. I didn't want Auntie Mandy to terrify her. but yeah, homeboy would have gotten his feelings hurt pretty quickly. So don't be that guy. Moral of the story, don't be that guy. It was a book sale of donated books. You're not guaranteed or promised anything. It's not like you're going into a retailer, you know, where they're profiting. This is for a local library, books that have been donated to help the library, not to help line your pockets.
Exactly.
That was our experience at the used book sale.
That was our book sale rant. We did get a lot of good stuff, though.
We did. I'll probably post a photo of mine because, again,
there's too many for us to go through. There's too many.
This podcast would be so long.
But yeah, we'll post photos of our hauls.
Yeah.
And then I also got a whole bunch of Funkos. Like, I am surrounded right now.
Oh, Lord.
I'll go through them really, really fast. I got Scarlet Witch, Glow in the Dark, Hawkeye. They're so cute. I'm obsessed. Oh, no. They're falling all over the place. It's fine. I got Red Panda May and the flocked version.
Cute. Oh my god, so they're so cute.
And then regular
I love May. That they're bigger. I love that they're bigger than her. That's precious.
And a little stuffy. I'm obsessed with this. My daughter keeps trying to steal it.
I need them to do a 10-inch of her mom.
Yes.
Her mom's panda.
As a panda, yes.
Yeah.
And then my Vision comic.
Very nice.
Pop. And then the little WandaVision mini moment. From episode, I think, 3.
Very cute.
4, whatever it is. But yes, so those are my pops. And then I also got more books in the mail. I got a second copy of An Arrow to the Moon because I bought 2 copies for reasons. And then I got the All Crate editions of A Forgery of Roses and Our Violent Ends, which I think this was from, like, many years ago, but they randomly found some and I happened to be on the website.
I love that. I love when that happens.
Yay. So yes, that is what I got. That's everything, I think. I'm trying to go through really fast, otherwise it's gonna be a very, very long podcast.
I have 3 books that I'll show off. So we saw this at my local Barnes & Noble and I ended up ordering it on Amazon. I don't remember why. But it's called Ban This Book because, you know, I can't bypass the banned books table. And this book is about some kids who I guess encounter censorship and they're like, absolutely not. And a ton of banned books are referenced in this. So I can read it. My nieces can read it. It seems to be like middle grade, which is fine. I want them to learn that we fight censorship. We both got the Barnes & Noble version of Lore Olympus.
Volume 1.
I have the regular, but I needed the exclusive.
Of course.
And then yesterday, my brother brought me a copy of The Child Thief by Brom. Ooh. It's a Peter Pan retelling that takes place in New York with fairies and monsters and all kinds of things. My brother is obsessed with Peter Pan. It's my brother, Josh, obsessed with Peter Pan. And so he read it. He's like, I think this is mine. I'll have to find out if I have to give it back to him. I might not give it back to him anyways. But I was looking at it last night and the first author who writes something about it on the back is Holly Black, who wrote Little Prince, which is excellent. So I'm like, all right, well, if Holly Black likes it, then I like it too. So I'll be reading this soon. It's huge.
Yeah.
I bought a vacuum cleaner, which is really exciting when you're an adult. It came in. It's great.
Yay.
And then after we dropped you off at the airport, we went to Trader Joe's. So I spent some because I can't help it. I've written and sent out a proposal. It's the most extra proposal ever that I emailed to Trader Joe's, begging them to come to my town. I gave them prime real estate locations that would be great for them in our downtown area, links to the listings, demographics, a history of our town. So I'm hoping that I don't have to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I love it.
And then we also, this literally last minute, we had talked about it at the beginning of the week. We were like, nah, literally last minute decided we were going to go to the Melting Pot. So I looked on Resy to get a reservation and they were like, oh, there's only one at 6 and we wouldn't have made it there in time.
Yeah.
So I called and I was like, hey, do you guys have any reservations tonight? She says, no, we're booked up. Well, then 5 minutes later, as we're like, okay, well, we'll just go somewhere else. We'll go to Trader Joe's and then figure something out. Resy pops up and says, hey, we have a 7 and a 7:15, which would have gave me time to get through Trader Joe's and then go get my fondue on. So a lot of money went to Trader Joe's and the Melting Pot this week for me.
And
it was not my money because he earned it, but my husband got conned by a little girl because we'd both bought her things throughout the week, little stuffies and putty. And
I bought my daughter a brand new suitcase. And because I was like, we're going to the used book sale.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need extra. I'm not, because we came fully packed. There was no space to add things.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, she wants a suitcase. She's wanted a suitcase. And I was like, well, it probably would make more sense for me to get her a suitcase. So we got her a suitcase and everything was packed. We were packed to go back. Everything was full. And then we went to Barnes & Noble. And
Karen had told her, you don't ask. I think the last thing she got was some silly putty. And she was like, no more asking for things. You're done for the week. You got, you can get books at the book sale, but that's it.
Right.
So we go to Barnes & Noble in Atlanta and your kid is like, mommy, I want this. And, you're like, no, I told you no more. Mm-hmm. And she ducks her head and she starts looking around and she's like, where's Uncle Josh? And she ended up getting the thing that she was asking for.
No,
and then
she didn't.
More.
She didn't. She the thing that she was asking for was that mood octopus.
She didn't get that?
She didn't get that. At the checkout, she was like, mommy, I changed my mind. I want this. And it was the little mystery ball thing.
I was on the phone when you guys I was like, they ran to the checkout. I'm not done, but they're checking out. So I didn't even see that I just thought she got the octopus and because
she did. So originally she grabbed one of those mood octopuses and she's like, mm-hmm. I've always wanted one of these. And I'm like, okay, well, you're not getting one. And then she goes,
and she got a Lego.
Where's Uncle Josh? And then she goes over and he's on the phone and he's like, okay, I can buy this. And then she comes back to him with a Lego set. And he was like, okay, well, it was a beat up box. And he was like, go find a box that looks nicer. And so she goes back and gets a different box of Legos that is bigger. And we're like, no, 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 this is not fitting in the luggage.
This is not what we meant.
So she put that back, and then she ended up picking up a little stuffed Hermione plushie, which she was like really excited. So she had the two plushies, the mood octopus and Hermione at checkout. Then Josh goes up to pay, and he's at the register giving the cashier like the stuff, and she turns and she sees these little like blind bag things, like the little and she's like, "Mommy, I changed my mind. I don't want this. I want this." And I was just so she puts the octopus down, the thing that started it all, and grabs these little things. And so that's what she goes home with, is Hermione and this little, like, mystery ball thing.
It was just funny to me that she knew. She was like, he won't say no.
Yeah. Well, it's his own fault. He's the one who was like, I'm not, what am I going to do? Say no to kids?
No, never. So, that's why our nieces are so spoiled.
Yeah. So she's just, it was just so funny because she's just turned. She's like, where's Uncle Josh? Yeah. Good time.
Did you buy anything else?
If I did, it is not anywhere near me, so I have forgotten about it.
So I don't think I'm anticipating anything right now. What are you? Other than like a new episode of Moon Knight, but
I don't think so. Oh, well, no. I think everything I'm anticipating is in like May, like a couple weeks out. So
nothing. We're not excited about these things as we are, as I was about Scars. I know I talked about it like for every episode.
I mean, I'm looking forward to Multiverse of Madness, which is in a couple weeks. But yeah, other than that, like there's a couple books coming out in May that I'm excited about, but nothing like imminent. Nothing that's happening like this week or next week. So
well, we just breezed right through anticipating.
Yep. Oh. Next is freestyle, isn't it?
Yep.
It's my turn.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, we kind of talked about it briefly last week, but I don't know where you stand, Mandy. I'm about to have major anxiety because I don't know how feel.
Because I have notes.
Oh, no, I didn't take notes. I just have feelings.
I'm prepared. Go on. Do it.
You're hurting my feelings. Captain America was right. Iron Man was wrong. That's what I say.
No, Nat was right. I'm Team Nat.
Team Nat?
Yep.
It's not that I don't like Nat. I don't like Scarlett Johansson, but that's a different thing.
Nat points out that both sides are necessary.
Does she?
Mm-hmm. By action and by a statement she makes. She says, if we have one hand on the wheel, we can steer. Mm-hmm. One hand on the wheel. One team on the wheel. She signs the Sokovia Accords because they're needed to restore public confidence in the Avengers. And it allows the Avengers access to government funding, to government intel, so that they know when threats are imminent rather than, you know, oh my God, this just happened. We have to get there. But then she also understands that we need immediate action sometimes without bureaucratic red tape and government involvement and government saying, no, you can't. Oh, you're going to be our lapdog. So when she comes across Bucky and Cap, she lets them go instead of arresting them. Mm-hmm. She played both sides. She played both sides because both sides are right and both sides are wrong. Both sides are necessary.
She's always been the one to play both sides, though.
Yeah.
But it irritates me. What irritates me the most is that Tony's like, we need, you know, something. And then he goes and like brings in a 14-year-old child to fly to Germany and have this fight with all these like superheroes. Yeah. Like, sir, no, there is no, you are not in the right. You go into this thinking we're going to do the right thing and we're going to sign this and we need order and we need, you know, shit like that. And it's like, sir.
But it wasn't just that. It was, I mean, you see the devastation that the Avengers leave.
Right.
Even if they're trying to help, who pays for that? Who pays to rebuild? Exactly. Which, I mean, he's fine with, but he's like, you know, we kind of do our fight and then leave.
Yeah.
And these towns and cities are left in devastation.
Here's the thing. He was guilted into it because he felt bad. And it's like, yeah. Steve's the only one who actually read the accords and read exactly what they were signing. Like, nobody else read it. You can see Steve's the only one sitting there reading the accords and being like, I don't think this is a great idea.
So I put that in my notes. Cap doesn't want to sign because he doesn't want to be a government attack dog or slowed from helping when it's needed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be used as a weapon. He doesn't want to be, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, Tony is desperate to atone for deadly mistakes that the Avengers made in which people's lives are lost.
Wait. And his deadly mistakes that Tony made. Let's be clear. Tony is the catalyst of a lot of this. And that Wanda was on accident. Tony is out here being a mercenary. He's sold weapons to
My point, Karen.
No, I hate Jesus. Tony so much.
I hate Cap worse. I promise. And I can say, yeah, Cap is right about a lot, but he's also wrong about a lot. So Tony wants to sign because they've made deadly mistakes. And Cap's point is, sure, Wanda sideswipes the building and maybe 3 or 4 people die, but that compared to 3 or 4,000 people, it's an exchange I'm willing to make, where Tony is like, I don't want anybody to die. It's still people's lives. Neither of them wants to budge, but Tony sees signing as a fair compromise. Not saying that it is actually a fair compromise, but he is trying to right the wrongs. And I'm not saying I'm on either one of their sides, because they both have their heads up their ass, if we're honest. Let me see if I wrote anything else. Tony talks about how people die and locations are destroyed when the Avengers come to protect. And it's like, you know, there's a kid, I can't remember what movie, I think it's a kid who shows up and is like, my whole family died because the Avengers came to save us. Might be a woman. I can't remember. It's been a long time. So the reasons that they're both wrong is, like I said, Avengers help causes mass devastation that Steve is overlooking.
Right.
And well, he's kind of cavalier
about.
Let's go
to the big major ones, because we've got Avengers, where you've got Loki bringing in the Chitauri, which without their help, it could have been much worse.
Yeah.
We've got Age of Ultron, where Tony literally makes the thing that they are fighting against. He literally is the reason all of this is happening.
I mean, we could say that about, I don't want to say her name because she'll ask me what I want, but A-word. We've done that with A-word. If I could just call her Jarvis, it would be. We could be doing that to ourselves right now.
But he literally goes in and is building this, like, artificial intelligence thing, and then
he didn't know it was gonna turn into Ultron. He thought he was making like a virtual assistant reality type thing.
Did he? Because he was like, we're gonna build a shield around the world, and that just feels like asking for trouble. Like, there's he literally builds a murder bot. So that was on Tony. Then what's next? We've got, well, Civil War is when they're fighting each other. And also, that was.
Mm-hmm. You go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just got one. F you, Steve. You lied to Tony to his face about his parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's shitty.
Even if he didn't know for sure, he should have brought it up.
He
should have at least been like, hey, I think that this is what might have happened. I don't know for sure, but
like you should know. We know Tony is emotional, right? Mm-hmm. And he's reactive based on emotions, where Cap tries not to be. I hate him so much. But you would hope that Tony would be logical enough to say, Bucky did not kill my parents.
Well,
the mind control is what killed my parents. It's not his fault.
It would be interesting to see an alternate, like, point in the multiverse where Steve did tell Tony see if Tony reacts the same way. Because you see Tony be logical in Infinity War when Star-Lord gets emotional that Thanos has killed Gamora.
Yeah.
You see Tony being like, you know, no, we got to take a step back. Like, this is for the greater good. So he has that analytical, logical side being like, okay, but he was put into a situation where he had to kind of be blindsided about it.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see if Steve had actually told him when he had his suspicions, be like,
yeah,
if Tony would have reacted differently.
Yeah. But then it's also, it's not Steve's choice to make on whether how Tony reacts and how Tony feels. You yeah. still should have told him the truth, even if yeah. he reacted poorly, because right. it's his right to know.
Yeah, it's his parents. You
and
know?
Then who sacrificed themselves for the world, Karen? And who went back in time to be with the person that they liked?
Listen.
I hate Captain America so much.
Listen. Tony literally brings a 14-year-old into battle. I don't care if he has superpowers. He is a child. You cannot go about being like, we need to take responsibility for the things we do and then bring a literal child to a battle zone. No, sir.
I mean, I agree.
I will be on the child side.
I'll agree about that. But as far as all of the Sokovia Accords the only go, reason, I think they're both
the,
right.
Only reason that Tony agreed to do the time travel and the time heist was because he saw a picture of him and Peter and felt guilty that he let him down, that he let him die. And that's that was the catalyst for him to be like, no, maybe I should help them with this because they're going to screw it up. He wasn't going to help them in Infinity War or in Endgame. He wasn't. He was like, no, you guys leave. You go do your thing. I have my happy ever after. And then he sees a picture of him and Peter and he's like, well, shit. I
think he
up.
Sees the picture of him and Peter and also realizes that he has a child who he wants the world, you know, to be safe from the world as it was because she loves him 3,000.
He made the selfish choice to be like, I have my happy ever after. I can't lose this. I'm not going to help you with that. And then he like gets all of a sudden is just like, oh, he sees Peter's picture and is like, wait, I'm going to help them. I'm just going to try it and see if it works.
But also, had they signed the Sokovia Accords, would Thanos have even been a thing? Would he have even been allowed to yes. get as far as he did?
Yes, because the government sucks. They would have been like, no, he's a threat over there. He's not going to come. Like, nobody had any idea that you know, Thanos was going to be a big thing. Like, yeah. even way back when. Like, if they had signed the Sokovia Accords, what would have changed in terms of Thanos?
They would have been working together.
But how would that have changed what happened?
I don't know. You don't know. Maybe because we'll get that in a multiverse, too.
That'll be interesting to see. But it's just like, if they had signed the Sokovia Accords, what would they have done? Thanos would have been coming. Bruce falls from the Rainbow Bridge, gets sent over, and falls into the Sanctum, and is like, Thanos is coming! And then what? They have to go to the government and be like, Thanos and the people came right then. Tony didn't ask for permission to fight the aliens that came.
That's true.
You know? Yeah. Like, what? He signed the Sokovia Accords and still the aliens came in that moment. And what did he do? He went straight into the battle without consulting anybody.
So one more point that I have, and again, I'm not team anybody because I see they're both right and they're both very wrong, but who watches The Watchmen?
You've never read
or seen The Watchmen?
No.
Okay. So it's this graphic novel that is very, it's a similar kind of story, but it's basically who polices the police, who watches the watchmen, who, yeah. you know, who keeps the Avengers in check, who keeps, you know, Captain America from, you know, a what if style situation of what if he wanted to be evil, you know, right. or what if Thor, you know, loses his mind. Who's there to stop the Avengers if the Avengers were to go rogue?
I think Cap makes the argument, the flawed argument. It's like, we stop ourselves. Like, if one of yeah. us goes rogue, like, then we would take, like, okay, yeah.
He's very optimistic.
He is. But I, in this scenario, if we're talking Team Cap or Team Iron Man, I am firmly in Team Cap. Like, if we had to choose between these two.
I would not choose.
Mm-mm.
Because they are both so wrong. About so much.
Listen, I live in a world where I will never choose against Wanda, Bucky, or Clint. And they are all on Team Cap. I mean, so
he's
sorry.
Got Spider-Man.
Sorry.
Spider-Man is my favorite. Okay.
Listen, there is no world in which I will bet against Bucky, Wanda, and Clint. They are all on the same team.
Who was Sam with?
What do you mean, who was Sam with? He was with Steve.
Oh, that's right, because he's his follow-up. I was going to say, wouldn't it be crazy if Sam was on Team Iron Man and him and Bucky are like what they are now? I don't want to call them besties because they're not, but I guess they could be besties.
They're work friends.
That's right.
Sam is a black man.
On each team.
Oh, I can tell you. We've got Steve, Sam, Bucky, Wanda, Clint. Then you've got Tony, Nat, Rhodey, Vision, and T'Challa.
T'Challa,
who was a black man living in a black country, who did not have to deal with the racism and the shit that Sam had to deal with his entire life.
That's fair.
It's a different thing. And T'Challa wasn't really on Team Iron Man. He was just Team I'm Against Bucky because he killed my father. So,
man, Bucky's got a track record.
Listen, Bucky was mind control.
Father killer.
Bucky didn't kill T'Chaka. Bucky was innocent at that point. Okay, they just thought he killed T'Challa. Frickin' Zemo.
I mean, yeah. I hate it.
But Bucky.
Poor Bucky. It's not fair.
My poor Bucky.
But then you have Vision was on Team Iron Man, and then he and Wanda still were able to reconcile. They didn't even have to reconcile, but.
Yeah, but they were just. You know, it's interesting that we had Vision and Wanda, because it's like, I want to know why these people picked their side, because Wanda kind of just ended up on Team Cap because Tony kept her locked in Avengers compound.
Yeah.
Right? And then Vision, I mean, Vision is just a product of Tony, so.
Yeah. You also had War Machine. War Machine was Team
Tony, Iron Man.
And he's American. He's an American black man.
He's Tony's best friend.
So
this is
if you were like drastically wrong about like something that, you know, the world depends on, I would say it to you. I wouldn't just, you know, you don't want your best friend to just blindly follow you.
Brody, it's interesting how the teams fell, I think. Yeah. I think Sam and Bucky make sense.
I would have thought that Hawkeye would have gone with Tony.
I thought it was interesting. Well, see, safer. And that's the thing. I feel like it's oh, and we have Ant-Man. Ant-Man was on Tony's side, and Spider-Man was on Iron Man. I forgot about those two because they were like,
see, I'm never going to like side against Spider-Man.
They're precious human beings. But it's like, okay, so obviously Scott is going to be on Team Cap because he's just the biggest fanboy ever.
Yeah.
Sam and Bucky are obviously going to be Team Cap. It's interesting that Natasha picked Tony's side.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of thought Nat would pick.
She didn't though. She did publicly, but. She's kind of made choices to not.
And then it
feels like we don't love Scarlett Johansson, but it felt like she was.
Nat was trying to get your heads out of your asses.
Yeah. This is why
I've seen the argument that Civil War should have been a Black Widow movie, not Captain America.
And that's another point. I'm glad you said that. I did write that down, but I missed it. This is a Captain America movie, so you're going to lean towards Cap is the hero. If it had been Iron Man, everyone could be like, yeah, you signed the Sokovia Accords. Are you kidding? Without an argument. Because you're going to make the Captain America movie about Captain America's take and Captain America's side and why Captain America should be right. What if it had been a Black Widow movie? Would everyone be more centric to the point and not?
I think the problem is that it's called Civil War. So everybody feels like they need
Avengers
to pick a side.
Civil War.
That's why everybody feels like they need to pick a side. They need to pick Iron Man or Captain America, but I think logically speaking, if you think about the actual like problem at hand, more people are going to be centrist. They're going to be. And that's another thing. It's like if we clearly need to listen to the females more because they were like,
bro, you're wrong.
Both of these men have their heads up their asses. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that it was marketed, because of the everything, everybody feels like they need to pick a side.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh.
And I need to point out, like, I want everybody to know, I hate the government. I'm not pro-government at all. F the government completely. But personally, their personal thoughts, Tony was right and Tony was wrong. Cap was right and Cap was wrong. And I hate, like, I gag on saying Cap is right. I hate him so much.
Just pretend you're talking about Sam. It'll make you feel better.
If they had been, they were just being men who just had to be right instead of just take a step back from it and find a middle ground here, like Nat did. Yeah, have half of us say, yeah, we'll sign the Sokovia Accords, and know that, hey, we're still going to feed you intel.
Right.
So that you can be our black ops on the ground. You know, we are still going to make sure that you who have not signed the Sokovia Accords can fight and can still help.
Well, apparently signing the Sokovia Accords doesn't actually mean anything when Tony just goes off and fights anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a whole movie about and whether or not...
have known that.
There's a he whole movie. Known
that you're going to jump in. Like, if there's freaking aliens falling into New York,
yeah,
you're going to suit up.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to call the government and be like, hey, there's aliens. Am I allowed to fight? Yeah. Like, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
There's no world in which Tony, like, actually would have followed along with this. And yet
right.
he's preaching and being like, we should sign this. We should do this. We should be governed by this. And then he goes off and is like, I'm going to go fight these aliens. Like, no, sir.
I think that part of the mentality was, if none of us sign this, if none of us do it, the government will no longer provide us intel. Mm-hmm. And what maybe the government takes it out on the people whose homes are destroyed or businesses are destroyed, and they won't help fund because, yeah, he's a billionaire philanthropist, hotshot or whatever he says, playboy, genius, but billions of dollars only go so far if he is the one funding rebuilding every life that is destroyed. Mm-hmm. So maybe his mentality or part of it is, we have to have UN, you know, the UN have a hand in it so that they can ensure that there is funding mm-hmm. to help rebuild these people's lives in these towns and cities that are destroyed. Because we're, I mean, of course, if you're sitting there trying to save thousands of people from a big, you know, alien or whatever it is, whatever the threat is at that moment, yeah, a building may get sideswiped and you try to evacuate. Yeah, it may happen, but having the ability to say, hey, UN, Sokovia needs some money. I have this. What can you do? Does help.
I want to know why. So the Sokovia Accords happen because Wanda sideswipes the building and, you know, a delegation from Wakanda gets killed, or people from Wakanda get killed. And it's right. like an international thing because they weren't in Wakanda, obviously. They were somewhere else.
Right.
But it's like, if she hadn't been there, would Rumlow have just blown them up? Or would Rumlow have right. even been there? Because they were chasing Rumlow, right? But would he right. have already been there? And would he have already blown up more of the thing? Right. Like, there's so many nuances to it. And there's mm-hmm. so many different things to think about that there's no one right or wrong answer. Like, there's
right.
the Sokovia Accords are flawed in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. And for either of these two white men who have yeah. power to be like, well, we should do this or we should do that. It's just like the government.
The Avengers should have taken it, you know, and talked instead of it just being Cap and Tony and
it should have been, right. It should have been a group like negotiation. They should have talked about yeah. it amongst themselves. They shouldn't have had Ross come in here and be like, you need to sign this specific thing. And they should have been like, well, let's read it. We will talk amongst ourselves. Right. We'll get back to you. Like, instead of just taking it as it is, like yeah. no bill gets passed that way.
Right.
There's no bill that just goes like, here, sign this. This is all you get. No, they go back and forth. So why yeah. was there no negotiation?
Negotiation. And that's kind of the point I was trying to make is, had they talked about it, then half of them could have signed and half of them could have said no, but they could have still been friends and worked together on the sly mm-hmm. so that, like, we are playing the system here.
Right.
We will be the government's lapdogs up front because the public was terrified of the Avengers at that point.
Yeah.
The public did not have an excellent view of the Avengers, even though they were trying to help. So Tony was right in that we have to do something, or the people that were trying to protect. Yeah. So half of them signing the Sokovia Accords reinvigorates public faith. Okay, they're working with the United Nations, which is supposed to be an organization of peace. But then we have boots on the ground that didn't sign that we can say, hey, government intel says that there's a spaceship, you know, entering the atmosphere here, and they're kind of trying to make it where we can't go. Mm-hmm. And then there's Captain America there to help.
Yeah.
Who didn't sign anything. But instead, they had to be right.
Like, I would like them to release the Sokovia Accords. I want to read them.
Yeah, I want to read them.
I want to know what it says exactly. Because obviously, if it was like, you need to get government permission to do such and such, then Tony broke that after having signed it.
Right.
Nat broke that after having signed it, you know? So I want to know exactly what it reads as. Because what world does Tony think that he's not going to jump in and help if somebody's in danger?
Right. Absolutely. So, like, they all know that they would.
There has to be something that would have, like, to be fair, though, Tony didn't read them. So maybe he doesn't know, like, exactly what he's
getting. And what if you don't, I mean, we don't know, like, what's in their heads when they sign it. But what if that was the point, is I'm going to sign it to save face with the public. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want anyways. Because what are they going to do to me? Put me in jail? Okay.
Right.
Then you don't have Iron Man at all if I'm in jail.
Right.
So maybe that's why he and Nat and everyone else signed it, because they're like, we can save face and then I'm going to do what I want. I don't care. If there's an alien in front of me, I'm going to kill it.
There's also the other thing is, like, this is for the Avengers, right? But what about other, like, powered people, like Spider-Man? Like, Tony obviously knows he exists. Tony knows he has these abilities. Tony doesn't turn him in to be like, you need to sign this. You need to register or whatever it is. So what do we do with anybody else who is, quote unquote, enhanced?
And also, would Spidey wouldn't have even been old enough to sign anything.
No, he would have been 14. He was a literal child.
I mean, that's Spider-Man's thing, though. Like, I get, like, Tony's involvement and allowing him to be there is one thing, but Spider-Man is a child, and that's a fact. May, I guess, could be considered just as guilty, like they say in No Way Home. You let him be Spider-Man knowing he's a minor.
Yeah.
He can fight. What's his name? I keep wanting to say Magneto. It's not
Magneto. Mysterio.
Mysterio. You can fight Mysterio and save London, and that's fine.
Yeah.
As a child. But when Tony allows him to be there, it's like it makes Tony a villain. Everybody lets Spider-Man be there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But he's the one who dragged him from obscurity. Nobody knew about him other than Tony. If Tony hadn't brought him in, he wouldn't have been on Nick Fury's radar. Nick Fury wouldn't have been like, oh, let's get this guy who is already in London to help us fight this guy, you know?
But you've also got, hey, Mr. Stark, 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 can I be, hey, Mr. Stark.
Because
Tony and Happy were probably about to lose their mind.
Because Tony is the one who went to him first. He never went, I'm gonna reach out to Mr. Stark. I want to be an Avenger.
Yeah.
Tony showed up at his apartment unannounced. He was shocked that he was there. Tony, I want to know how Tony found out about him, first of all.
Yeah.
But, like, well, there was that YouTube video, I guess. But how did he know it was him? But
I
also,
know...
like,
sorry, I was just changing.
No, go ahead.
I want to know what happens to the other kid. The kid from Iron Man 3. Like, I want to see him. Again.
Yeah, Hartley.
What's happened to him?
He
was at the funeral.
Yeah, I want to see. I mean, that's a really cool detail that they added in to be like, they kept in touch all those years. I thought that was really cute. But I want to
have read things that he's like,
he's supposed to be Iron Lad. That's what people are being like, he's going to be Iron Lad. I'm like, okay, cool.
I guess Tony didn't really encourage crime fighting when he was a kid, but it is cool that they kept in touch.
It's cool because he was a science kid. You know, he was a STEM kid. And so it was cool.
Tony gravitates towards STEM people. Yeah.
So,
which would mean that he wouldn't want to be my friend.
No.
STEM person.
Not Tony. But yeah, so there's so many intricacies to it. There's no like right or wrong.
I'm looking at it as a woman. So I'm like,
Both
of you annoying white men need to just pull your head out of your ass and work with your friend. That's your friend. I mean, they're not friends.
They're not friends. They're not.
But
friends.
Work with your team.
They're coworkers.
That's your team.
Yeah.
Work with your team instead of just taking your ball off the playground and going home.
Mm-hmm.
Grow up. Listen to the women. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah. We do, though. God, it's like, hey, we do.
I can't choose a side. I can't.
I want Marvel to release the Sokovia Accords. I want to read them.
We need to tweet that. Like we tweeted BBC
I want to read exactly blogger. What the Sokovia Accords say. Because Steve's the only one who read them that we see on
Google
screen.
I wonder if they've
released it. Because I would like to read it and see exactly what they're signing. Because they're saying you sign this and you do this and this. Is it there?
Hold on. Somebody says you can read the Sokovia Accords.
But where? I want him.
Oh, it's very short. All right, I'll read it to you.
I would think they would be like this. It's not short. We see it in the movie. There's a whole stack. Like Tony sitting there, or not Tony, Steve sitting there reading through a whole thing.
I'm going to read you what the page says, okay? Because it's literally, I mean, that's, it's one page.
Maybe it that's came just the with, page they signed.
It came with, I guess, a box set or something.
Okay.
In accordance with the document at hand, I hereby certify that the below-mentioned participants, peoples, and individuals shall no longer operate freely or unregulated, but instead operate under the rules, ordinances, and governances of the aforementioned United Nations panel, acting only when and if the panel deems it appropriate and or necessary. And then they have it in French. So yeah, there has to be something else. So
that's,
I don't know why people are saying.
That's just the page they signed. That's not the full accord.
Yeah. I don't know why the internet is saying that this is.
That's not it. That's just the, like, this is the page we're signing and these are the people who have agreed to it. There's more to it. There's got to be more to it than that.
The full Covia Accords. Because I don't want just this one page.
No, that's not all of it. And also, can we talk about the fact that it's like, the United Nations panel, right? But we have seen that panels changes. Like this. That changes, first and foremost. Yeah. We have also seen it where panels can be infiltrated by bad guys. That was the whole point of the Winter Soldier. Hydra
and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. We just saw that. The bad guy fooled everybody.
Exactly.
I mean, hell, we had the bad guy for a president. Excuse me.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's true. So it's not like, it's not infallible.
Right.
You can't have them govern. And we had, you know, Hydra was infiltrated in S.H.I.E.L.D. and they had plenty of things that they were doing. Like the whole movie of Captain America and the Winter Soldier was that Hydra was building these helicarriers and they were seeking out threats and they were going to try and protect the world, except that that's not what they were trying to do. They were trying to seek out Avengers and eliminate them before they became threats to Hydra. So it's fallible. There needs to be more checks and balances.
I just read something very weird.
I'm scared.
This is on marvelmovies.fandom.com and it's talking, because I was like looking to see about, you know, if you could read the Sokovia Accords.
Okay.
Pro registration. This has got to be, I don't know what movie this is in, but it says pro registration. These are the individuals who support or agree with the Sokovia Accords. Thaddeus Ross, Tony Stark formerly, Vision formerly, Rhodey formerly, T'Chaka, Matthew Ellis, and Glenn Talbot. Anti-registration, individuals who do not support. Steve Rogers, Bucky Barnes, Sam Wilson, Scott Lang, Clint Barton, Wanda Maximoff, Sharon Carter, Phil Coulson, Natalia Romanoff, T'Challa, Vision, Tony Stark, and James Rhodes.
What?
Unless acting against Squidward.
Well, okay, so they said formerly.
Yeah.
Which
means... I wonder if their action means, listen, I don't agree with this anymore.
Well, I mean, Tony literally went against the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah.
Like,
but literally. It doesn't, he never, like, actually comes out and says, I don't agree with the Sokovia Accords.
Right, but is it a fan page?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a wiki page, kind of.
So anybody,
it's like a marvelmovies.fandom.com. Yeah.
So, I mean, it could just be that they're like, well, he formally agreed with it. Yeah.
Yeah, he broke them and that means you don't agree with them. Oh, and then it says, this is so silly. This is just like a random Google thing. Mm-hmm. Two heroes who sided with Captain America, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, violated the accords when they freed Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they didn't sign.
They didn't sign the accords.
So how do you break an accord you don't sign?
How do you break something that, yeah.
The title of this article, though, is the MCU has forgotten the Sokovia Accords. The MCU has forgotten the entire cause of Civil War, and that's for the best.
It's true, though, if you think about it.
It's just like everybody who signed them has acted against, you know, threat or died or blipped or whatever.
We've got Tony died. Natasha died. T'Challa, TBD. I know.
I'm going to start to cry.
Rhodey.
He can't have a new T'Challa.
I know.
Where's Rhodey?
Rhodey got majorly injured and paralyzed. Yeah. Spider-Man got blipped and his memory of him erased from everybody who knew him, except for probably Wanda. I never thought about it, but it's a really good point. Wanda probably is the only one who remembers him because she was in her little cabin with her runes.
Yeah. No. That'll be a thing in Multiverse. Is like, there'll be a moment where
she'll say something
about, I remember
about, like,
you.
She'll say something about, like, oh, we gotta go, something about Peter. And they'll be like, Peter? Who's Peter?
Yeah.
What do you mean, who's Peter? Yeah, so.
Sad. So sad. It just, see, Spider-Man, like, I'm wearing a Loki shirt above anybody. Above anybody. I am a Spider-Man girl at heart because I have been my whole life. So I will take, Spider-Man as my most favorite. That's why I can't say that I would ever be 100% Team Cap, because Spidey is there and I can't leave Spider-Man.
Yeah. Just take it with you.
Do it.
Yeah. Just take it with you.
Come here. Come sit with me and Auntie Nat.
Come, small child. We will take care of you. We are
don't
your
grow
moms
up
now.
Like these men.
We are your parents now.
Yes. Listen. You can, they raised you.
Listen. That you listen can tell. To the women. You can tell Peter Parker was raised by a woman because he is not a shitty white man who needs to be right all the time. Like, he knows how to
He's
learn.
He's a baby angel.
He is a sweet baby angel. And he was conned. Conned, I tell you.
Oh, that was a doozy. I'm sticking with it. Team Nat. Team the women who were like, you guys are dumb. They're both dumb.
Team no straight man.
Preach it.
Team hashtag no straight white man. I'm done with them.
Yep.
Cis white men. Go away. I'm done with you all.
We have an exciting announcement.
We do. I'm going to check our email real quick because I sent an email this morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read it. Okay. I responded.
Okay. I was like, I didn't see it. Okay. So I'm going to read this. You talk.
What do I talk about? Nobody wants to hear my voice. Why are they listening to a podcast with my voice in it?
I love your voice.
This is a very exciting announcement Karen has coming for us.
I know.
So
I'm just reading the email because I sent it and then I forgot to check the email afterwards. So
hold on to your butts, girls, guys,
mays. We have a new partner of the podcast.
Yay!
We're very excited. We had a really good Zoom conversation with Emily from Novelty Chest, and she's agreed to partner with us on the podcast, which means, dear listeners, you get some goodies as well.
You just reminded me of Lady Whistledown from Bridgerton. Dear reader.
She calls her readers
dear reader. We'll do this, dear reader, and listen to me. So, dear listeners.
So I know I talked about, I think it was it last week or the week before, where I got Novelty Chest boxes. Mm-hmm. So this is a book and tea subscription where you get I think it's newly released book that is like a special edition. It's the ones that I've gotten have been sprayed and stenciled edges. So they're really pretty. And then she's now doing where there will be a handful of mystery blends that are made for that will match the certain chapters in the book. It's similar to Once Upon a Book Club where you get to a certain
point with tea.
So you brew some tea and then you read the chapter drinking your tea, get all into the vibes of the moment. It's excellent.
And I still am obsessed with the fact that she chose a magic steeped in poison. Like, that is such a good book for a tea.
Absolutely. There's no way that was not going to be made into like a tea box. I love it. So if you are interested, you can use code FANGIRL5 at checkout if you're subscribing to the monthly subscription. So there, she has multiple options on our website. There is the option to order a one-time box. There is a monthly subscription where you sign up for a month at a time. There is a 3-month subscription and a 6-month subscription. If you sign up for the monthly subscription, it's $39.99. Use code FANGIRL5. You will get 5% off of your subscription every month for the life of your subscription. So as long as you stay subscribed, you will get this 5% off every month.
And that would make it the price of the 6 month without the commitment.
Commitments, yes.
But we want you to commit because I'm so excited. I ordered mine. It took me all week. I'm saying, don't let me forget. I've got to. And I finally did it.
Every time we sat down, there was something came up and like you got distracted.
Or it would be like
we were getting
in the car and it's like, oh, I've got to subscribe. I finally did.
Yes. So I have my 6 month subscription all ready to go. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. And then Mandy's
Fangirl5
at checkout. And you can also if you want to subscribe to the 3 or 6 month box, just know you're going to get charged monthly. It's not all up front, which was a big
I love that. When I signed up, I signed up for the 6 month and it charged me just for one box. So then next month it'll charge me for the next one. So you're not paying 6 months all at once. So
Very excited. So we'll add that to Karen's spiel at the end, or our, because I do our book club.
Yes.
We'll add it to our spiel at the end.
We also have another partnership in the works.
I'm pumped about this one.
I'm so excited. We just need to hammer out the details and then we can add it in and then it'll be so much fun. We're very excited. We love our partners. We love them so, so much. Yeah. So yeah, stay tuned for more fun stuff and sign up for Novelty Chest. Okay. It's novel like a book, T like the T. So NovelTeaChest.com. Very important that I spelled that out.
Yes.
But it's very clever.
God knows what you'd get if you typed novelty, like the word novelty chest.
Who knows?
That might be some adult box going on.
So if you are interested, sign up at novel like a book, tea like the drink, chest.com.
We're so excited. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. She is so sweet. We'll have her on the podcast one of these days and we can just geek out over all the things.
Yeah, that'll be after we've gotten a couple of boxes and thoroughly fallen in love.
Yes, I'm in the middle of reading A Magic Steeped in Poison and I'm coming up on my first tea. So I'm excited to be able to brew that and drink along and and I love it. This book specifically is it's really cool because it's about a tea competition. So there's multiple blends that are talked about in the book.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see like what they came up with. I'm very excited.
Yep, me too.
And one of the big things that I really, really love about this subscription box is that Emily uses small businesses to fill her box. So she uses a small business who does sprayed edges, stenciled edges. She uses a small business that blends their own teas. So we are supporting multiple businesses by subscribing to this box. So highly recommend. We love strong women businesses.
Yes. And I don't want to say that we wouldn't accept a partnership from if Simply Safe, who sponsors every podcast, wants to come. We'll read a little thing for you.
Terramana Tequila. We love you.
We also love even more. You know, that small women-owned businesses are willing to work with us. Like, this is just the coolest thing.
We love small businesses. We love strong, independent business women. We are big fans. So we love that they're willing to partner with us and work with us. We're big fans. Yay! Yeah.
Do you have a spiel to tell us?
I do have a spiel. All right, dear listeners.
Yes, lady Karen down.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please like, follow, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Leave us a review. We love to read reviews.
Yes, we do.
We are big readers and we love to read.
I read all the things. Karen reads all the things. Let us read your thing.
Yes, absolutely. You can follow us on social media. We are on Instagram and TikTok as The Incoherent Fangirl or Twitter as Incoherent Girls because Twitter has a character limit.
Boo!
And we are very angry about it still.
We hate you, Twitter. I was going to say TikTok. I love
TikTok.
No,
we love TikTok.
We hate you, Twitter.
We love TikTok. We have a website that you can also stream our episodes on or just kind of browse around. Eventually, we'll add some more stuff to it. It's kind of bare bones right now, but it's there. It's available for us to add more things to. And it is theincoherentfangirl.com or send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We also have a YouTube page, which has all of our episodes with some like fun little, I do little like videos that are just, like, here's some pictures
graphics
that I can show you. Yeah, it's fun little things like that. It's not, you know, it's just our episodes. You can listen. We will eventually be using it for Patreon once we figure out the logistics of all that. We had a conversation. We're like, we are in two different states. How does this work as the business?
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out. We panicked a little bit, but we'll figure it out. We'll talk to a lawyer. We'll figure it out. And we'll get that set up for y'all. We have codes. Ha! Codes, I remember codes. I remembered the codes this time. I always forget. Visit our sponsor at herecomesthenerd.com and use code FANGIRL at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Yay! Yay. Visit onceuponabookclub.com and use code MANDY10 for 10% off at checkout.
And our newest one. Go to novel like the book, tea like the drink, chest.com. I'm going to have to say that every time so that we don't spell it incorrectly. And subscribe to the monthly subscription and use code FANGIRL5 for 5% off the lifetime of your subscription. As long as you stay subscribed, you get 5% Yay! Off without the commitment. It's fantastic.
And we will we'll link all of these sites below with our
codes
so
that linked.
You can find it so that if you thought you might type novelty, like the word novelty, you might avoid a weird situation.
I kind of want to look it up now link. And see. See what it is. I'm kind of scared. Yeah. I might use a private browser and do that.
There you go.
Quick note, we had talked about Here Comes the Nerds Pokemon round coming out. Hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we'll be able to tell you something. I think she's almost got the stuff ready, so we'll let you know when that comes. I saw a TikTok of hers recently, and I think I know what that last Pokemon is that I couldn't figure out. So I'm going to text her about it. I'm like, is it this guy? Is it this guy? I think it's
this guy. She's also teasing a super secret drop, which I think we know what it is. I hope. We'll see.
She says it's
if it's
super
what
secret.
I think it is, it's I'm pumped. If it's what I think it is, yes. I will be the first person to place an order.
Like, add to cart, check out.
Yes,
immediately. I'll get whiplash with how fast I check out. Like,
yeah,
oh, very excited. So, hopefully, I don't know. She says it's super secret, so she
will see.
She won't tell me anything about it. But
yes, oh, then maybe it's not. Maybe it's not it.
Well,
maybe it's not what I'm thinking of. When I it's what it we when it is what we think it is, you will know 100%. You will know.
I know what you think it is. And yeah. I feel like I want it to be the same thing.
Yeah. But
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Because that would be really exciting. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what was, what is it? May 16th, right? Swag boxes?
Yes. Started on my calendar.
It's on AmberDLewis.com.
She's going to be listing some swag boxes for pre-orders for The Starlight and the Shadows. For the next book in the Fire and Starlight saga.
So, I want to keep you updated, but I also don't because I want to make sure I get one. They're going to be limited.
I will riot.
Yeah.
In the streets if I don't get one.
They're going to be limited. She's going to put up 25 to start. If those sell out, she'll put up 25 more. And if those sell out, they're gone. So there's only a maximum of 50 available. So you better be on your game if you want these.
Two minutes after I order, you can order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They go until at 10:02 a.m.
After Mandy and I have checked out, you can go check out.
Then go check out.
Thanks. Mandy and me and Autumn.
Yes.
Because I think Kaylee. Autumn would, and Kaylee Joanna.
Too. And Joanna. Oh my God. We all, no, I don't want to say don't go buy it. Go buy it.
We'll give
Just
you
be
like
prepared to fight you.
Yeah, we'll fight.
Be prepared for us to fight.
We'll throw hands. My child won't be around. We'll throw hands.
Yep. I'm already ready.
I'm ready.
Just remind me of the book sale guy. I'll get my elbow out. Just
we're ready.
You.
All right. And that was the incoherent fangirl.
Bye. Yay. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd, pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.